Mayor is out of town today, and we wish him safe travels. We'd like to welcome Councilmember Dave Luna, who is with us on his first official meeting today, and also we'll have Councilmember Richens, who will be joining us shortly. The first item on the agenda is to review the items on the agenda for the September 23rd regular council meeting. And on page one, if everybody's computers are on board, we'll be going through items 2 through 3C. Next page is items 3D through 5B. Five C through five E, five F through five H, five I through five K, and then five I through five M. Excuse me, or 5L, excuse me. I will wear glasses. 5N through 5O. Yes, question?
Yeah, on item 5J, I'm backing up a little bit because I lost control of the computer. It's a 4-year service agreement for Motorola Communications equipment under, and I just wanted to make sure because there was some very good news that the regional wireless systems in Mesa and Phoenix are going to start collaborating a little bit more closely, and that the equipment purchases and the terms of this contract are that the equipment we're going to be acquiring will work across both platforms.
Good morning, Vice Mayor Colton Summers, Randy Thompson, Communications Administrator.
Yes, this equipment keeps us right in step with what the RWC is doing.
Okay, and in working through this, the RWC is, we were sharing information.
Oh, yes.
For both boards, so they're aware of this purchase and keeping it.
All right, good. And this is an upgrade agreement, keeps us on the very same plan that they're on.
Excellent. Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure of. Thank you very much.
Wonderful, thank you. Any other questions on those? Councilmember Richens, did you have anything from those first couple pages?
I think so, but
sure, I can go back.
I downloaded iOS 7 last night. Nothing worth
kind of going slow. Well, we're glad to go back to those. Maybe
configure. Okay. Give me a minute.
I actually thought about doing that. Couldn't figure it out. So.
Oh, here, give it to me.
Oh, there they are.
Wonderful.
Anyway, go on.
Sure. So we're at 5L and 5M, but glad to go back to any of these others. 5N through 5O, 5P through 5Q, 5R and 5S. Looking forward to that 5S, by the way. Not the item, but the phone. 5T through 6D.
Vice Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Summers.
Item 6D, let me see if this is, yeah, I believe will be the first use of our foreign trade zone. Is that not correct? The first company to actually take advantage of the foreign trade zone? So we might want to hear just a little.
Good morning, Vice Mayor, members of council. Jennifer Graves, who's become our foreign trade zone expert, has joined me this morning.
Why are you laughing? That's not
amongst the all the other duties that we that she carries. Yes, this is foreign trade zone has become a big issue for her. But yes, this is the first user of the foreign trade zone. It's been in existence for quite some time. But we're excited about the first agreement that's in front of you this morning. Why don't you talk a little bit about what it all entails and the exact locations?
Sure. As Bill mentioned, good morning, everybody. This is our first activated foreign trade zone user, Nammo Tactical Ammunition, which is a division of Nammo Tally located at Falcon Field, has asked to activate in the existing foreign trade zone at Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport, and they will be occupying a bunker that is currently unoccupied and was previously stored used for storage to store components that they will then move to their Falcon Field location when they need to be processed into final assembly.
Nice. Mr. Cavanaugh, follow up.
Just to follow up, when I voted on the trade zone in 1998, I didn't really think it would take 15 years to get the first one. So I want to compliment you and your staff for finally executing on an old vision.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
And an old but still current vision.
It is an excellent selling tool for us to be able to promote the foreign trade zone, especially as we look at imports and exports and foreign direct investment as well. So great job with that.
And I think what we've learned is it's always the most difficult to get that first one to commit to a process, and then from there it seems to build. So good work.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Okay. Any other questions there? Okay. Next page is item 7A through 7D. And then 7E through 7H. And 7I through 8B. And then items not on consent would be items 9 through 10B. And then the following page is items from citizens present. Okay, Mr. Richens, did you have anything from those first pages?
No, thank you, okay. Vice Mayor, for
wonderful
the opportunity.
Even though I was tardy this morning.
No. Glad to have you here. Okay, the next item on our agenda is item 2A, hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on insurance, surety bond, renewal, and options and strategies.
Thank you, Vice Mayor, members of the council. It's that time of year again to go out for bids for our insurance, for our property, our liability, and our workers' compensation. We have mentioned in here aviation, because typically we do aviation at this time of year also, but we're not this year because last year we entered into a two-year contract for aviation insurance. So we don't have to go out to bid on that this year, but we will again next year. So I'm going to start the presentation on the Property and Public Liability Trust Fund, and then Nitra will talk about the Workers' Compensation Trust Fund and the insurance that is needed for that. As you know, the Property and Public Liability Trust Fund is funded by the General Fund. Each year there is contribution made. The disbursements from the PPL, Property and Liability Trust Fund, is for our liability claims and cases, the attorney's fees and the litigation costs in defending those cases, and the insurance that we purchase for the City of Mesa. The types of insurance that come out of the PPL are the excess liability, the property, aviation, and we also purchase some other types of smaller insurance for special events or for art insurance. Here you can see over the last 5 years what it has cost the City of Mesa for excess liability insurance and property insurance. It's been coming down pretty significantly since 2008. Last year was $875,000 for those two types of insurance. For our excess liability insurance, and if I might say, I apologize, we also have here Bill Schultz today. If you have any questions, he's from our broker. So if you have specific questions that we would like to address to the broker, we can ask Bill to come up. For our excess liability insurance, we have for the last several years had self-insured retention, which as you know means we pay the first $3 million for any liability claims. If the settlement or the cost exceed $3 million, the excess insurance carrier will contribute to that. Our current coverage with a self-insured retention of $3 million, we have excess coverage to $40 million. If a claim happened to go in excess of $40 million, the responsibility would come back to the City of Mesa. Thankfully, we've never had that, nor have we been close to that. This year, our broker is recommending that when we go out for bids, we again have a $3 million SIR, and we ask for bids for policy limits at both $40 million and $50 million. In our council report, you can see what the other cities are requesting or what their liability insurance is, and $40 to $50 million is pretty consistent with what most other cities have. Our property insurance, we have about $1 billion in assets that we are insuring for the city of Mesa. Our current coverage has a $50,000 deductible, so we pay the first $50,000 for any damage to property, and we have a $3 million per occurrence coverage. Our broker is recommending that this year when we go out to bid, we seek bids for a deductible of both $50,000 and $100,000 so the council can determine, do you want to keep it at $50,000 or is it more cost beneficial to increase the deductible to $100,000? And we maintain a policy limit of $300 million per occurrence. The broker is also recommending that we seek bids for something new. We've never obtained bids for cyber risk insurance. And this would protect the city from any claims if by electronic, I guess, hacking or other means, if there is a disclosure of personal or sensitive customer and employee information, and such as credit card or date of birth information. This is kind of a new type of insurance, but other cities are now securing it. We know that Phoenix, Tempe, Gilbert, and Flagstaff all are purchasing cyber risk insurance, and our broker is recommending that we ask for bids for policy limits of $5 million, $7 million, and $10 million. We'll bring all of those bids back, and the council can decide, do you want to purchase this type of insurance, and if you do, what amounts would you like? So that's my presentation. Any questions or comments on those recommendations?
Council Member Kavanaugh.
Just a question with the property coverage. I just want to verify when we have vehicle accidents that we own, does that come out of the property fund to repair those vehicles or replace those vehicles, or does that come out of a liability fund?
It depends on, obviously, what the case is. But we've had one case where a pumper truck was damaged in an accident, and the damages were in excess of $100,000. At that time, we had $100,000 deductible. But we did seek reimbursement from the insurance carrier for the damage to that fire truck. Typically, you know, if it's just a motor vehicle, the damages aren't going to be in excess of
$100,000. And so we just pay for that under our...
Actually, it would just be through the vehicle replacement. Okay. So the property and liability trust fund typically will not pay for damage to the other department's vehicles unless it exceeds the deductible, if that makes sense.
Right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Council Member Summers.
I have no objection to seeking insurance for the cyber threat. And I think this is something we're going to be dealing with for the foreseeable future. But I think it would be a good idea if staff were to put together an assessment of our cybersecurity risk profile and perhaps present that to council at some point, either in one of the subcommittees or at the full council or individually, if we don't want to make that televised public record. It would be good for us to have an understanding of what that risk is. If we're going to be purchasing insurance. And also, I think rather than just purchasing insurance, we need to start focusing on how we can deal with our cybersecurity risk by putting up new protocols or investments to ensure that that information is secure best we can.
Okay. I can certainly start to collect that, and I'll work with staff, and maybe even the auditor, yeah. She can help us with some of the protections
this,
we now have.
Yeah, it's, I think that's a... You know, the legal risk is something you'd be aware of. I think IT is going to have to lead on their side. We're going to have to look at, I'm concerned about the computer systems in our utilities. I think if somebody's going to crash, it's going to be for personal information like billing, or it's going to try to crash into the power systems or the gas systems, whatever are available, if that's possible. I don't know. I'd like to know more about that. So I think this is a topic that I know the National League of Cities is dealing with this topic and has a lot of concerns about it, and I think it would be a good idea for us to study it in a little bit more detail on council.
Councilmember Cavanaugh.
Thank you. I think that's an excellent suggestion, both from our work at National League of Cities, and I guess I would suggest it would be appropriate. We might want to start with the Public Safety Committee, and well, we can have that as a future agenda item and presentation, again, depending on the staff's recommendations on the sensitivity of the information.
Councilmember Richens.
Do we ever get a second opinion or a third opinion on the coverage, the amounts of coverage? You know, I know that this broker recommended these amounts of coverage, and we're comparing to other cities. But I mean, is that the methodology we're using? Are we looking at? I'm sure we're looking at what our asset base is and everything, and getting limitations that are appropriate for that. But I mean, are we sure that these are the right amounts? I guess.
Well, what we do is we do go out and how we select our broker, we go out and competitively issue an RFQ for the broker. So every 3 years.
Yeah, I know all about that, actually.
And then when we select a broker, we have a contract for what the term of the contract, 3 years in this case. And we rely on the broker's recommendation during those 3 years. However, what we do ask them to do is come and tell us what other cities, what type of insurance they're securing, as you see in the council report. So we do have some external data that we use to say, okay, here's the recommendation from the broker, here's what we've done historically, but here's what other cities are doing, so that we have that to judge against as well.
I don't know, that makes me totally comfortable with you know, I think a better gauge is a good evaluation of our assets and risk instead of, okay, what are other cities doing? I don't know. I mean, part of me feels like we need another opinion about, are these the right coverage limitations? Are we overinsured? Are we paying too much? I understand how they bid out to multiple companies and that broker, you know, brokers with a lot of companies, but I'm just not completely convinced that these coverage limitations are the right ones for us. So I'd feel a lot more comfortable if I had a little bit more information there.
Maybe we'll have Bill come up and tell us what he uses, what information he uses to make the recommendations he does.
Yes. Bill Schultz with Willis of Arizona. We're the largest public entity broker in Arizona, so we have a lot of experience. We've been doing this for 26 years. We not only look at the exposure for the city of Mesa, but the largest lawsuits against public entities in the state of Arizona. And then we also look at the cost. We could purchase higher limits. City of Phoenix buys $150 million limits, but they also have some unique exposures, such as Sky Harbor, that would not apply to the city of Mesa. So we look at past loss history, affordability of excess limits, and a general sense of your operations. It's not a mathematical formula. Believe me, if there was a way we could plug in assets and losses and come up with an exact number, but it's really there's a certain amount of speculation.
What are some of the, if you evaluate the big losses that happen in the state of Arizona or to municipalities, wherever, what give us an example of what some of those are? So I'm trying to get a better understanding of what our risk is.
Right. One of the largest claims was the Flagstaff school district. On the first day of school, they had a bus driver who was maybe not trained, who was drinking coffee while driving, and they went into a ditch, and you had multiple children injured with lifetime medical costs. That was $29 million. They had a local agent in Flagstaff at the time. They've since hired our firm, and they only had $10 million of limit, so they had to bond the additional $19 million to the taxpayers because they had inadequate limits. So that would be the largest claim that hasn't actually been appealed down that I'm aware of against a public entity. There have been larger settlements, but then under appeal, though they've been brought in under $29 million.
So we do have a couple of airports. What's our exposure if there's a plane crash? What if it goes into a neighborhood or one of our public facilities? Are we covered?
Well, the aviation is a separate program. When we refer to the liability excess program, that is strictly a separate for your law enforcement, your public officials, errors and omissions, for your general liability, your auto liability. The aviation, We have a separate broker, as well as Julian Davies, who works with the aviation program, and he'd probably be better qualified. But you don't...
Well, you mentioned Phoenix has Sky Harbor, right. And that's why I asked that question, is because you said they had Sky Harbor, so that gave them some unique reason to have higher limits. So,
right.
Do they not have airport coverage or something? Yeah, I mean, what was the connection there? I'm trying to understand.
Why I can't really comment on why City of Phoenix does what they do, but it could be budgetary issues and then the cost of the excess insurance. Certainly, if you're more comfortable, we can offer higher limits, and you can evaluate the cost-benefit analysis at that point.
Good morning, Councilman.
I'm guessing you have something to say.
Vice Mayor, Council. No, it's okay.
This is Barry Hegrenis, our risk manager or claim
there
specialist.
There we go. Yeah. Help get us a good understanding of what
our
risk
it's okay.
Really is here.
Mr. Schultz is, as he says, he's in the excess liability program for and property for Willis. Willis does have an aviation division. Last year, we raised our limits on airport liability coverage and also our aircraft liability, hence the aircraft operated by our police air support. And we increased that the limits of coverage from $50 million to $100 million per occurrence. That was last year, which is still lower than, and I do not know exactly what Sky Harbor carries, but it is lower than Sky Harbor,
what,
but it is.
What threw me is his higher. Comment about Phoenix having a unique situation because they have an airport. And so that's what threw me is like, because you connected that to the liability coverage issue. And so does liability cover airports and aircraft stuff, or is it the airport insurance? I mean, I think I'm just confused. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'll just quickly speak to the fact that airport operations and aircraft liability is specifically excluded from what we would call a general liability excess policy. So therefore, you have to buy separate insurance for that. Sky Harbor's exposure, if you will, would be significantly higher than a place like at Falcon Field because of the commercial airline, because you're talking about multiple passengers in large aircraft, where we're a more municipal oriented aircraft, whereas Mesa Gateway obviously would be more similar, or Phoenix Mesa Gateway I should say would be more
you
similar.
You can call it Mesa Gateway, that's fine.
yeah, we like that.
And actually we are only responsible for the tower, you know, the control of the aircraft. We're only responsible for the tarmac for airport liability, where the planes land. So that's our liability, is what could happen on the ground, if you will.
Okay. So the Flagstaff example you used, that was the biggest example that you've seen in Arizona as far as coverage limitations and how did damage the city. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Good information, you know, especially I'd like to get a little bit more on that gateway down the road. And, you know, as we look, there's a gateway authority and who is really insuring that. I know it isn't covered kind of maybe what we're talking about today. But
yeah, Vice Mayor, that's what I was going to say. We do not purchase insurance for Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. We do cover insurance for Falcon Field.
Falcon Field, yeah. Interesting. Well, good. Any other questions? Follow-up, Mr. or Councilmember Richens?
Yeah. You know, in the past, before I was on council, the excuse I always got for not doing something was liability. Oh, we can't do that. Too much liability. Now we're doing a lot of activities that are different than we've done in the past. Shooting fireworks off the top of our buildings is one. Are we adequately insured now that we can continue to have big public events like that? Do you feel comfortable now that I'm not going to get the... Oh, we can't do that because of liability. We do it because, you know, that's what cities do, I guess, now. So do you feel comfortable that the new activities that the city seems to be doing at our parks, in our downtown, on public streets, running races, 5Ks, marathons, bike races, all that kind of thing, are we covered for those events?
We are covered for those events. Obviously, we have increased exposure, but that doesn't mean we're not properly covered. We have excess liability to $40 million. We've never come close to that amount. We've never exceeded, and I'm going to talk off the top of my head, but we've never exceeded probably $3.5 million for a liability case in the city of Mesa. So we are adequately covered. That doesn't mean a much more significant liability event cannot happen, but we're comfortable that we're adequately covered.
So if Vice Mayor Fincher comes up with a new wacky idea for a fun new thing for the city of Mesa, do we get the answer, oh, liability exposure, or are we good to start planning stuff like that?
Well, I'll say I'm not sure we ever said a running race is going to create too much liability exposure. So it depends on what the wacky idea is.
What about a zip line at Riverview?
We can ensure. We can ensure anything that.
We're just talking scenarios here.
Do we have a zip line between the council and here?
Any activity the council wants to engage in, we can certainly include in our information, and insurance companies will bid on it. So the council can engage in or schedule whatever type of events. We would include that in our. This is what the city of Mesa does. Tell us what your bids will be.
And Steve, and clip on that. That's exactly what I wanted. Thank you.
Councilmember Summers.
You know, when you deal with liability, there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And some of the things that we do, operation of an airport, doing a zip line between the council's office and here, you know, we can kind of judge what the risks are there a little bit more accurately. It's the things that pop up and get you that sometimes a city doesn't have anything to do with. I remember a huge fire in Phoenix, not maybe 10 years ago that I was on, where a building that had been approved by the city for one particular use was sold and utilized, unbeknownst to them, for a pool chemical company, which sent up when caught fire, despite being sprinklered. The sprinklers weren't set for that hazard. And it released chemicals into the air, including chlorine, which, of course, wafted over a neighborhood and created a lot of concerns, health concerns there. And it set Phoenix on a huge liability lawsuit that changed the very way their fire prevention office operated and what they focused on. So the liability to the city of Mesa isn't just about the parks we run or the events we do or shooting fireworks off the top of buildings, because, you know, those are things that we're conscious of. Some of our liability may be buried in how businesses and individuals operate in the city, and some lawyer comes to you and points to you and say, you should have known because you have a fire prevention division. How could you not know that? So that's the difficult part of trying to put our liability together, and sometimes it's better to err on a side of caution from what we've seen in other communities and maybe purchase. I'd rather have a little bit too much than not enough because I think that protects the citizens better, and that's our fiduciary responsibility to our community to make sure that we have adequate coverage. I don't want to go too far on that, but I would rather seesaw and err on the side of caution for insurance.
Yeah. And on the day-to-day, I'm sorry, Vice Mayor.
No, please go ahead.
On the day-to-day liability exposure, obviously it comes in with the police incident situations. Right. And those are just, they're going to happen because they're difficult situations. Yes. So that's where the majority of the liability exposure exists.
Just to echo what Debbie says, the largest claims nationwide have involved law enforcement type activities.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, I appreciate this discussion. Councilmember Richin sparked a memory. I remember when we first came on as council, our good mayor and the council, we would have some spirited debates about, you know, the risk aversion and what we could and couldn't do. And I always appreciated this council really pushing hard to say, hey, let's figure out how we can do it. And we are in the business in liability. So it's nice to see the development, all these wonderful things that we're doing now that weren't done before. So. That's the story that will probably never been told if I think people understood how much back and forth went along those lines to get some of the things that we're doing now. So anything else for us?
We have Nitra's going to talk about the Workers' Compensation Trust Fund, but is council comfortable with the recommendations of the broker for the property and liability?
All good.
Thanks.
Yes. Thank you.
I'll say for support.
I think this. Thank you, Debbie. Good morning.
The Workers' Compensation Trust Fund is also funded by the general fund, and we also have our broker here as well. We have a representative, Rose Unruh. If you have questions, be happy to bring her up here as well regarding our Workers' Compensation Trust and how that insurance is also procured. Through the trust fund, we do pay for all industrial injury and illness claims, as well as the medical and legal costs associated with those claims. We also pay the taxes that we are required to pay to the state of Arizona, and we also pay for our insurance premiums as well as our surety bond costs associated with having a workers' compensation program here. Of course, our insurance also protects the city from excessive financial loss in the event of a catastrophic injury. And of course, the most recent event that occurred was up in Prescott with the Yarnell fire. That would be a recent example of what this type of insurance would protect the city from. Our self-insured retention is at $1 million. And so the city will be on the hook, or we will pay the first $1 million. And after that, we will receive reimbursement from the insurance policy under the terms and conditions of that policy. If you look at historical, since 2008-2009 fiscal year, how our premium costs have gone, they are increasing. Last year, we did have a policy premium of $266,000. In light of the Yarnell fire with the loss of the 19 firefighters, there will be some impact on what our costs will be for our premium this year. So our brokers are out there getting the information so we have adequate quotes that we could provide to you.
Why would that be?
Just because it was a significant loss. There's the potential there that because it was a huge catastrophic loss and how insurance companies are looking now more at how we do and how we provide insurance and our claims, that does have the potential.
Are we paying more because they took a significant loss and so it's not necessarily a risk but covering that loss, or are they looking at our exposure and saying, well, based on that loss we have a greater exposure because we do not have the same type of team that Prescott had? We're not exposing ourselves to that type of wildland fire. So I'm curious as to why they would raise our premiums if we're not engaged in that kind of risk behavior.
Well, it's not necessarily rate. I think it is going to be a factor, and I could have Rose come up and speak with that to that as well. But, I mean, in the insurance, if you look at 1991 when we had this is Rose from our
brother. Hi, Rose.
Hi. Rose Unruh with Gallagher.
Yes.
It's more of an industry-wide impact on the insurance premiums overall. It's not just because of the 19 firefighters, but it impacts the whole industry. The costs for medical connected to injury is substantially higher every year. That's what impacts the premiums most. So the 19 firefighters, you don't have the exposure, yeah. But industry-wide, that's where it impacts it. The state of Arizona sets the work comp rates for Arizona employers. That's the manual rates. If those go up, it impacts the excess rate slightly. So it's not really a cut-and-dried rate that the excess carriers apply. They look at the overall picture. And I don't see City of Mesa's rate going up any more than 7% for this year. Depending on, I know you're saying there is no exposure, 7% rate, not premium.
Mm.
So I think you're rated like 10 cents per $1,000 of payroll or per $100 of payroll, and it's going to go up maybe to 11 cents. So it's not a significant increase.
Okay.
And we have questions after Mr. Summers.
What? You're fine.
That's only 7%. You're killing me.
Yes. So questions, Mr. Luna, Mr. Glover, and also Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you for being here. When we're talking about workman's comp, are we talking about all workers, seasonal workers, part-time employees, anybody that puts in a couple of hours a day
here at the City of Mesa? Yes, we even cover official volunteers, so that does fall under the umbrella of our workers' compensation program, yes.
Okay. A quick question regarding back to what Councilmember Summers was talking about. If the Yarnell situation happened in Mesa, would we be covered under what we have today?
Yes, we would be.
Oh, okay. He's got his question answered. Please proceed.
Okay. All right. So right now, working with Rose, we are continuing to request quotes for $1 million. So we want to retain that self-insured retention. And they are going out and getting those quotes to maintain the SIR at $1 million. And so unless there's any other objection to that, we would like to continue with that. And again, most of our insurance companies who respond to the proposal, they do provide higher SIRs, which means that the risk will take a higher financial responsibility before the insurance would kick in. So that will be something that if they do provide that information, we will also provide that to you for consideration. But we have maintained that 1 million SIR since the 07-08 fiscal year. So, and it's been pretty, it meets our needs right now for the city.
Mr. Cavanaugh.
I do have a question. Can you give us an idea of the number of annual claims that we receive for worker compensation by city employees?
On average, we have about 400 new claims each year. Right now, our claim load that are open and continuous current is about, if I'm not mistaken, about 320 claims that are always open at one time. So as we get new claims, they close, some reopen. So it's a continual process, but we do average about 400 new claims a year.
Right. And I know historically we've had relatively low claims because we've got pretty aggressive safety programs. And so Mesa has always had one of the best self-insured programs in the state. So I just want to compliment you on that.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Yes. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Wonderful. So I think that's your direction. We're comfortable with that.
And yeah, that would be, if you're comfortable, we'll stick with the $1 million, and we will proceed in getting the quotes for that.
Wonderful. Ms. Spinner, anything else along these lines?
No, Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you for the presentation. We appreciate it.
Are we covered if we fall off the zip line?
We would strongly recommend that not happen because of the cost. Because that would be an increased risk. Sorry.
Okay, our next item is item 3, acknowledge receipt of minutes from various boards and committees. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye. Thank you. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Mr. Glover.
I just had the opportunity to go and attend the season kickoff at the Max, the remix and remaster. It was a great event, so I want to give a shout out to the Art Center employees and for their hard work and dedication. And I know it was really well attended. The public had a great time, and so thank you again.
Councilmember Richens.
On behalf of Councilmember Cavanaugh, our Valley Metro board member, he couldn't make it, so I went to a press conference yesterday launching Valley Metro is designating all their light rail stops is a safe place haven in partnership with Tumbleweed. It's a nonprofit that helps rescue at-risk teens, and so any at-risk teen could go to a light rail stop, and there's a button there, and it'll immediately get help for them. So they had a big kickoff event for that, and it was I think Mayor Stanton was there, and Velda Williams was there, whom I believe is on the board with you, council member from Phoenix, and I was pretty well attended by the media. So that's a good thing, good partnership. Thanks.
Wonderful. Mr. Summers.
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot lately. In the latest one this past week, I attended two meetings in a row, both dealing with the same topic. And that topic we heard a little bit today, which was public safety communications. One of the biggest leap in communications we're going to make here nationally over the course of the next few years is for data. And the federal government has put aside several billion dollars to build out a public safety broadband network for data communication for our police officers, emergency medical services, and firefighters. And that's going to affect very much how MESA law enforcement and public safety emergency medical services communicate. The type of data they will be able to download will provide help them provide better treatments, help them identify criminals more quickly, and help them do their job a lot more safely. It certainly is going to impact us at a local level, and this is just yet another example of the things that are happening nationally that that are affecting us here on Main Street. So I was involved with that. That's where I was last week, and then yesterday I was also on a conference call with our state telecommunications agencies dealing with this very issue. So it's something I've been very, very involved with.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Anything over here?
I had just a couple of items. I'll quickly, on Tuesday we had Building Strong Neighborhoods in District 2 in the area of Gilbert and Broadway, filled a school auditorium with folks from the neighborhood. Really have to send appreciation to the Neighborhood Services Group. Do a quality job, and people leave very encouraged and ready to, you know, improve their neighborhood. Also yesterday, we had a proclamation for the East Valley Adult Resources Centers. I was able to represent the council and give that proclamation, and also a great celebration at Oakwood Care Center that I know many of the council members are involved in, and they announced that they've received a new VA contract and are growing, expanding with some neat programs for our senior citizens that have needs and cares. And also last night we had the grand opening of the Center of Advanced Dental Care at the A.T. Steele University, which is Mesa's medical and dental school that some people don't know about. Great opportunity. Their mission is to serve the underserved and the underinsured, and as they train these individuals to go out into the world. And they will be treating over 7,000 people a year that have special needs, health concerns in dental procedures and others. And so just a wonderful week and a busy one. So, okay, scheduling of meetings and general information.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just wanted to mention that the next coffee with Councilmember Kavanaugh is next Friday, September 27th from 7:30 to 8:30 in our new Fiesta District Police Substation Community Room, which is located at 1010 West Grove. And so Commander Mark Wesselman will be there to talk about the station and give tours to the public should they wish. We will have an open house that will be in October, but we'll just have the, we'll start it off and kick preview. It off with, it's a preview for Councilmember Kavanaugh and members who would like to attend that. Also wanted to mention that Councilmember Glover is hosting a shoe drive to benefit Paz de Cristo Community Center, and so we're asking for donations of new and used tennis shoes, and we do have a collection bin in our lobby of our Mesa City Plaza at 20 East Main. And the next study session and council meeting will be September 23rd, and just a reminder, at 4:30 in our executive session room, should you be interested in a flu shot, our fire medical department will be there should you want one. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thank you. We'll take a motion for adjournment.
Yes.
We have a motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you so much.